here now with is it a preview from Saturday Show or just one of the favorites?
It's a throwback.
It's a throwback.
I like that. Here with a throwback from Cupid Players is Want Me Now.
You and I are dating. We're more than strangers, not quite friends. The rules of our situation are undefined and make no sense. But you think we've got some kind of mutual understanding that I'll be in your future without you doing any future planning. You say, as soon as I figure my junk out, you know you'll be the one for me.
One for me.
I don't believe in commitment right now, but wow, you sure are pretty. I've been patient so I wouldn't seem crazy, but now it's just no use.
No use.
I'm sleeping next to you in your boxers. I won't hear another excuse. So we can actually give this a try. Or I can burn this to the ground forever. And you can either want me now or get me never.
On the back burner, want the whole damn oven. Not under your spell, this witch runs this coven.
Can't keep me on the hook, I'm not a worm or a fish. You think I'll take your bait? Nope, I'm a bait and switch.
You can't string me along, I know how to thread a needle. Paint a real nice picture, but I'll smash your easel.
Save me for a rainy day, not a drop, not a chance. Not in your back pocket, I don't live in your pants.
No.
I live in an apartment.
Yes, you do.
Like an adult woman.
Yeah.
You thought you'd buy yourself some time by choosing words that were careful and clever. So you can either want me now or get me never. I'm not your friend with benefits. I'm not one of your dudes.
I'm an intelligent woman with fantastic boobs, and you're just straight up rude.
Someday when I'm rich and worldly, a star of the screen and the stage,
I'll sit on my throne of expensive whiskey and delight in your impotent rage.
That you never got with this when you had the chance. Taking one more glorious glance.
See you later, gone forever. Want me now or get me never.
Good effing bye. Don't wanna give you an ultimatum, but I deserve so much better.
So you can either want me now.
Dude, seriously.
Do you want me now?
Whatever.
I don't even want you now. Can't have me never.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can't have me never.
That was nice.
One of you, if you want to come over here, my co-pilot, see, Rainey, come on over. Red Rover, Red Rover. I know. Yeah, that's because I didn't make that gesture earlier, and I apologize. That was fantastic. That was Rini and Andy from Cupid Players, and now are both of you performing again this Saturday at Sketchfest?
I am not, but Rini and Brandon both are.
It was a very fun show last week. I just showed Craig a picture of one of the performances. What is that song called where you try to figure out how you at some point in your life every man has tried to?
It's called I Never.
I Never.
Yep. And there are two types of people in this world: people that have tried it and liars.
It's also surprisingly,
there must be three types of people in this world,
and Craig Collins.
And Craig Collins.
It's surprisingly universal. When I think Chris proposed it, right?
Yeah,
and all the boys
Chris's
were like,
song,
yeah, I've tried that. Yeah, or, yeah, I know. I've
and also
guys
being
it.
In the audience, it was universal for the men in the audience too.
Like, oh yeah,
they just erupted and were like, yep.
Mm-hmm. I learned something.
Yes, Craig.
I think they must all be hanging out with the right people. I think you guys just have like a ton of
no, dude, when I was younger, I came up with that idea on my own.
No. Are we being clear enough for the audience, or is it better if we stay vague like this?
I'm not sure.
I don't want to give the jokes away.
Yeah, I won't give any of the jokes away.
The jokes, people.
But at some point,
you know,
there's a lot
you
of...
You know how there's the idea that you would fall asleep on your hand so that it would seem like it's someone else and not you?
They call that the stranger, Craig.
The stranger, thank you.
No.
You couldn't do that with this thing. And I think the thing that makes it good is when it's not you.
I don't know. I'm really good at helping myself. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You're proud of yourself.
Everyone is. It's right. Practice. Makes perfect.
Sure. You give yourself applause when you
have it. So, like, if you're a big fan of first basing with yourself.
Yeah, but Brandon,
have
are
you tried the next base?
Are you Brandon? Into yourself when you're doing that? Are you enjoying?
Well, no, Craig, I've never actually been able to do it. That's the point.
No. I didn't mean that one. I meant the first one. During the first
am
one,
I
do
into
you like,
myself?
Have, like a mirror set up?
Am
you
I standing
yourself?
In the bathroom?
I can't
mirror?
Believe you've not once hit adult warning on this. I can't believe.
I don't think
God,
we've explained
yeah, we really
any of
that.
It.
I know. I feel like Googling it. I feel like Googling it. And I'm sure there have to be images.
I'm curious if Brandon sits there with like a mirror, though, just to watch himself.
Oh. Oh, interesting question. Interesting question. Well, I think that's a good question for women as well.
That's like a thing they teach you. Like when you're a girl growing up, it's like you, like they're
get
like,
to know.
Yeah.
Get like to know.
All the girl books say like you put the mirror on the floor.
Yeah.
You get
but they always say it's like a hand mirror.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you Google men pleasing themselves
getting
that
to
way.
Know you.
Only. Only. I think this is such a high number that I'm surprised by it. Only 1 in 400 men can do this to themselves.
I believe
one
that.
1 in 400?
1 in 400 seems high.
That seems like a lot of men. Who
that seems more than I thought there would be.
Those odds are so much better than the Powerball. That is intense.
Sketchfest is running through Sunday. Starting on Thursday, there are at least another, I don't know, like 80 more performances this weekend, and you do not want to miss Saturday night's Cupid Players at 7 o'clock in the Pro Theater. Here with one of her songs from the show is Rini with Text from My Ex.
AM on February 6th, I received the following text message. Hey boo, how are you? I hope all is well. Which I thought was weird because I didn't know they had phones in hell. It was a text from my ex, this mother trucker who broke my heart. Just a drunk text from my ex. On his eyes, I want to fart. I didn't text him back, no, I stayed strong. Cause mama always taught me what was right from what was wrong. But then 2 weeks later, I got drunk and did the rightest wrong you could have ever thunk. I slept with my ex. Don't hate the player, hate the game. Yeah, I slept with my ex. It felt so good until I continuously filled with shame. Have a history of dating less than stellar guys who tell me they can change and other pretty lies. Find myself surrounded by familiar pricks when I should be surrounding myself with mozzarella sticks. But then I'd be home eating alone. And what if I choke on a cheese stick and die? Yeah, I might date my ex. He's only sometimes the worst. Yeah, I might date my ex. Cause my vagina might be cursed. No, I'll never date my ex. Goodbye forever to bad sex. And what's up to this dude in the studio? Be my ex, baby.
Yeah.
I'd love to be your future ex, Rini.
Rini. So much fun. I really enjoyed the show on Saturday. And what a brilliant closer, too. All just a lot of fun. What shows have you seen this past weekend? Like, what caught you off guard that you were surprised by?
Caught me off guard.
Pleasantly surprised by. I loved Superpunk, by the way. They were great.
I didn't see them.
No.
Well, we went to see Kiki, who was also in Cupid, directed and musically directed a show called Expecto. And it was five delightfully nerdy guys. Five of them? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was really, really good. Yeah. I enjoyed that show quite a bit.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And Brandon, did you see anything?
I saw Expecto. I saw Last Call Cleveland.
I saw. Now, did you see them Friday or Saturday? Because they had some technical difficulties on Saturday.
I saw them Friday because they went on right before Bryko, and I tech Bryko, so I saw Bryko as well.
Someone got sick in their cast, and they didn't tell the audience that was what happened, and someone had to go home, so it threw off their running list. Someone came, JC came by me and told me that they were doing this one on the fly.
Oh, man.
So, and I think that they handled it very well. At one point, they go, you guys are seeing everything behind this. You've seen all the seams. He goes, actually, we're only seams right now.
they've been doing it for a really long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were very good.
They're put together. That Cleveland video, the Come to Cleveland video that they've been doing for years, yeah. I could watch it 100 times.
Well, that was what had happened. Like, they couldn't get it to fill the screen. So it was this little tiny little square.
Somebody got yelled accidents. At somewhere.
Well, I mean, like it was clearly because somebody had to leave. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been so sick you couldn't do a performance? I have never had to cancel
once or twice.
I was like terribly sick last year for Sketchfest, our first week. We got reviewed. I mean, I couldn't sing at all, but I still went on.
I remember
still
that.
Hung out, like had no voice, felt fine, but was just like, I'm here. Yeah. We're playing.
I'd done a vamp where I walked off stage, threw up, and came back on and didn't let anybody. I did the one when my back went out.
Oh my God. How do you do that?
But, yeah. Well, it's a drinking show, so after the first two games, you're fine.
Drink the pain away.
I don't think you understand my back went out as a sentence, because like people can't move when their backs go out. Were you then down for the count after that?
Were you doing it
from your back? Were you on the stage?
No, I just never sat down or danced around. Like I would walk at like just, any sort of dance number. I was very George Washington.
If I remember correctly, I feel like every time you pass by anybody else who was on stage with you, it would just be like, I'm in so much pain right now. And then he would just go back to whatever he was doing.
To be fair, he blew out his back for a really great bit, so it was worth it.
I don't remember
very funny.
What I do.
Wasn't that when you went upside down?
Oh yeah, I did a handstand for like 2 minutes. Yeah.
But it was more of a neck stand. I think I saw a picture of that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
You gotta start. Yeah, pace yourself, my friend. It's a long road ahead of you. Hopefully, willing. Just yeah. You're not hearing me, are you?
No, hey, this is going well.
Yeah. Oh God.
I'll have what he's having.
So Sketchfest runs this Thursday through Sunday. Are you looking? I saw Vicky Coons and I saw Kelly was great. It was just a great weekend of performance. I saw a little bit of hard candy at Sketchubator. There was a lot of bodily fluids.
It honestly was pretty mild compared to what it's going to be this week.
That was a tame Sketchubator. Yeah.
Yes, it was.
I know. I was at last year.
Yeah, look at the RO for next week. Yeah, it's going to get.
And that's running order for those of you listening.
Oh, sorry.
Industry talk.
I talked to the group from New York whose name we can't say on the radio.
Fudged.
And I'm good friends with one of the gals in that group, and she's, you know, they've done, you know what they've done before.
Oh yeah, that's not how you make tea, is what I'm saying.
Well, she straight up said, I'm uncomfortable with what we're going to do this week.
I
cannot imagine what that could mean. I can't, but I'm going to see it.
But I'm going to see it.
Yeah, the bar doesn't have, tell them the bar's fine. There's no raising the bar. There's not.
But that's the point of that group. Is to make us all feel exactly how we feel
right
now.
I'm sitting here like, oh God, again.
For those of you at home, you don't have to worry about that. That's for the performers. They perform for each other.
You guys are all safe.
I'll ask Hard Candy tomorrow. But there's such a wide range of, and I think that people, when they look at that calendar, I mean, I guess they have to kind of go by whether or not, I mean, we're kind of previewing some of the groups here, but I mean, like, what's a good way to get people to give them an idea of what to see? I mean, by titles.
Well, the really cool thing is, you walk in and there's a giant calendar on there, but there's so many volunteers and staff members that know the shows so intimately.
Right.
And that's their job. Is so while you're waiting in the cattle lines to go in one of the four things, or while you're waiting in line to buy a ticket, you can literally go up to those people and say, hey, we're here for the 4 o'clock slot. What should we see?
Right.
And they'll point you, they'll ask, like, are you into musical theater? Are you into crazy sketch? Like, what are you into? And they'll point you in the direction. So I think that's one of the coolest things about our festival that a lot of festivals don't do, is we have so many people on hand to lead you to what we feel like you'd be interested in.
Right.
And even if we get it wrong once, great news is you got 9 more shows to go check out.
Trey was very sweet when they gave me places. He goes, we're just waiting for a few more people to come in, because I could tell from the dressing room that was a little bit light. Mm. And he came in and I'm like, and he goes, I'm waiting for a few more people. And I go, it's not too packed. He goes, and he gave me this like sad, like he didn't want to tell me. I'm like, I'm going to find out in a minute. But it was actually, I mean, the nice thing about the cabaret is that it was fine. Like, it was a good crowd, and they were all, it was a lot of performers. So I felt like, and I get really nervous in front of performers, but I didn't feel that here. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you have to, oh, it's the radio host, or it's the girl that has a TV thing. Like, let's see what, because a lot of times performers are like, why do they have something? And I don't. So I was a little bit nervous with that. But as soon as I came out, the shoes help. I have these ridiculous shoes. The show opens and closes about buying these ridiculous gold glitter taffeta bows. shoes that I didn't want, but this lady in the shoe department was sitting there like 80 years old and saw me just walking around and around, and finally she goes, oh my God, buy the shoes. There'll be plenty of time to wear the ugly shoes when you're my age. So it kind of, that whole thing was sort of came out of that, like, what am I going to do with my life? But so I don't know. Okay, so we have another group coming in. I'm trying to figure out, I may have to have you share mics. I don't know how many people are coming in from the next group, but I'm not kicking people out because we're just having a fun conversation. Yeah, do I have a break before the news? I should, no, I don't. So I can, I actually have a couple more minutes of talking to you all.
Yes,
And I know I've asked you all about your lives. We know that Brandon, we know him very well because we know he's from Texas, also lived in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And Rini, where are you from originally?
I grew up here.
You grew up here?
I grew up here.
What neighborhood?
Suburbs. I grew up in Berwyn, but I went to high school in the city.
Do you get tired every time you say Berwyn, people have to say it that other way?
Berwyn? Nobody lives in Berwyn. And like, no one gets the reference unless they're from here.
Right. That's
they're like,
true.
What's this secret nonsense?
Wasn't he all over the country, or was he only local?
No, he's local.
He is local. I apologize.
Local.
Sorry. Yes.
I don't know that he's all over the country. He might be around the Midwest. He's this like this morning radio or TV personality.
He hosts a horror movie.
Yeah, it's like a horror movie on.
I think it's now on WCIU.
Yeah,
it's on Channel 26.
But he's got this whole thing about Berwyn. He's from Berwyn, and he does this whole bit about Berwyn. It's
and then Cigars and Stripes came in under fire because of the mirror in the bathroom.
Yeah.
There was a two way mirror. Andy, where are you from?
I am from the suburbs of Philadelphia. Originally,
I do love Philadelphia.
Me too.
It's funny because every time I mention it now, people have been talking a lot about the food. Is that something that people are starting to talk about more? You know, rather than just the instead of the Philly's best, but like the sort of because Chicago's known for all these new chefs.
The thing that I always get. Obviously, it's cheesesteaks. People always, and I'm a vegetarian, so I can't give anybody any good advice about that. that's the first thing that comes to mind. I mean, there are other like Philadelphia staples like water ice, which we refer to as Italian ice.
That sounds redundant.
I know water ice does sound redundant.
I forgot.
There's Philadelphia soft pretzels.
I forgot the word for frozen the other night after we'd been drinking.
Oh, that's right. Rini was like, "It's ice. It's what did you say?
It's still wet. The ice is still wet. We can't use the ice.
The ice is not ice yet.
It's still wet. It's not frozen.
Why am I tempted to say let it go? I can't. I heard that song so many times when I was at Disney World.
No.
We are hanging out with some of our favorite performers from Sketchfest. We have the performers from Vamp and from Cupid. Oh, you didn't tell me your big news.
I will.
Wait.
Oh, the teaser happened.
No, you know what? Before I go to Esmeralda, do you want to tell us your big news?
Yes, and actually it heavily involves these two ladies too. Vamp is trying a new show in February, Fridays at 8 o'clock, called the Vamp Comedy Cabaret.
Craig, this means we can go to their show before we work.
Yay!
And it is BYOB as well.
Where is it going to be?
It's at MCL.
MCL.
At 8 o'clock, Fridays in February. It'll involve five or six of our Vampers, people that you know, including these two lovely humans.
Yay!
And it's a little bit more lounge singer, a little bit more cabaret, just a pianist. Still the same made-up, crazy, hilarious games and things like that. Still BYOB, but a little more loungy, a little more cabaret for maybe a higher-class crowd.
I like that. Well, now we get to go to the show more often if we want to.
I don't know. He just said a higher-class crowd. I'm not sure I'm allowed.
And Craig Collins.
Okay,
cool.
Craig Collins. And Esmeralda. You work Fridays?
I'm classy.
You work on Fridays?
Yes, you are, please.
Excellent. So we will round up the gang and we'll be there. That's exciting. So that's at MCL on Friday nights at 8 o'clock in the cabaret style Vamp.
Mm-hmm. Then you can get $10 off if you stay for both Vamps, and then you can just make a whole weekend out of
vamping. It's a different
show.
Every show is different. Every week is different. Every moment from moment to moment is different.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
It is time now for our 12:30 news. Coming up next, we have some more groups from Sketchfest joining us on air. All right. Stop. I said David Bowie all night and you play Frozen. I feel bad. We have in studio with us from Garden Boys, a sketch group performing on Friday night at the Cabaret, part of Sketch Fest 2016 at Stage 773, is Jordan, Mac, and Bobby. And Do you have any emotion? Of my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
Happy to be here.
What kind of emotion do you get when you hear Frozen and Let It Go? Because I can't anymore.
It's a real roller coaster.
Is it?
Pure joy.
I have a 12-year-old in last year's talent show. Like, there had to have been 6 performances of Let It Go, some that were sung and then some that were just lip-synced.
You'd think they would filter that out and just kind of maybe put them all into one.
It's one of those things where it's a talent show where everybody's in. There's no filtering. There's no weeding out system. And there's some really cute performances, and then there are things you go, really, how many more hours of this do I have for my kids? But you guys are part of Sketchfest. How many years have you been participating?
It's our first year.
It's our first year, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, have you been to the fest before?
This is our first year.
First year going.
I mean, like even like going to see it?
Yeah.
Where are you from Chicago?
Yeah, we're all from
Chicago. We are from Chicago, yeah.
So 15 years, you're like, we should go. Oh, you know what we should do?
You know what we should do? We should perform at Sketchfest.
How old is your group? How old is Garden Boys?
Since August.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would probably be part of the reason.
Yeah.
That
yes.
That's only your little baby group.
Yeah, little baby group.
You're the newest group I've met.
We're old to Chicago as people, but we're new to comedy kind of, so.
Yeah.
New to comedy in general? Like this,
yeah, I mean,
what drove you to sketch?
I don't know. We met in writing classes at Second City, so we've only been, you know, doing this all together for a couple of years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where are you from?
Jordan? I'm from Hinsdale, but when I give Segway tours, I normally say like Naperville or LaGrange.
Why do you do that?
Because I work for tips. And
are you
people...
not proud of Hinsdale?
No, she was asking, why do you do Segway tours?
Yeah, how's business?
Equally valid.
You get better tips if you say you're from somewhere other than Hinsdale?
Sometimes, yeah. People make an assumption pretty off the bat.
What assumption? I don't. What are there? Is there to assume about Hinsdale?
It's an affluent community.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, if you said Glencoe, I'm not tipping. I'm sorry. Sorry, Glencoe. Sorry.
It's good to hear. Maybe I'll see
Bobby's from Glencoe.
Don't say it from Glencoe.
Glenview.
Glenview's on the border. That's on the cusp. They have that really nice children's museum out. That old Air Force thing is fantastic with all the restaurants and the grocery store.
The Glen.
The Glen.
As it were.
Yeah. And those like townhomes back there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're from Glenview. We have possibly Naperville. Hinsdale. And where are you from?
I'm also from Hinsdale.
Oh.
So, yeah.
But I don't think Hinsdale and I don't think affluent. I don't know why.
It's pretty small.
Is it west? Which way is Hinsdale? I mean, I've lived here my whole life.
Pretty much straight west.
I guess because I really am such a Northsider. That's why I know everything off of 90, 94. Jefferson Park, Norwood Park, the city. But I'm so specific. Do you ever get grief from people? Do you ever tell people you're from Chicago and then they say what neighborhood? This has been another conversation that has come up.
All the time.
Yeah. Especially in college.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to school?
Notre Dame.
Okay. So a lot of people from Chicago in South Bend.
Yeah.
So the Chicagoans get a little bit feisty when you say you're from Chicago.
Well, yeah, because you say you're from Chicago and they're like, oh, where? And you're like, oh, North Suburbs. And they're like, oh, where? And you're like, oh, Glenview. And like, the person is like from the next neighborhood.
Oh, that's not Chicago. Yeah,
that's not Chicago. Yeah. I used to have that attitude until I realized there's so much parking in the suburbs. I really envy that.
It's beautiful.
It's luxurious almost, even if it's not Hinsdale.
I went to Notre Dame too, and I had the same thing. And I got in the habit of when people asked me where I was from, I'd be like Hinsdale. But then when I'd be like in London, people would be like, "Where are you from?" And I'd be like, Hinsdale, and they'd be like, "I have no idea where that is."
Right.
You know. So
well,
really,
why'd you ask?
Practical. Yeah, exactly.
And where'd you go to school?
I went to Colorado College.
Oh, yeah. I have a friend who graduated from Colorado College. A little bit of a smaller liberal arts school.
Yeah, it's cool that you know it. Normally, I have to filter through all the other Colorado schools first, you know.
No.
Boulder, Denver.
A friend of mine is now a history professor in Seattle and really attributes his education at Colorado College
to
sort of shaping who he is.
It's
a unique
intellectual adventure.
Yes.
That's what the pamphlets say. And it was.
And he ended up studying abroad. Did any of you study abroad when you studied in London?
Yeah.
All of you did?
I also did London as well.
I did Barcelona.
Oh, I had another friend. His wife studied in Barcelona. She did an exchange, but she had to live in someone's home. Did you?
I did.
What was that like?
It was something I'll never forget, but it was very strange. I had a host mom named Antonia, who was a very bitter old woman who had a 15-year-old Yorkie named Moe.
Moe or
Moe?
Moe.
Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe. Moe.
How did you end up in the Antonia's house? It's just I don't a placement know. We, program?
Yeah.
They is she part of the program
there?
Or did and she just pick you up at the airport?
It was a mistake. No, was a come on, meet Moe.
Yeah. It wasn't even an exchange program.
A crazy old lady.
Yeah, no, but that sounds a lot like my friend Catherine's situation. She became a vegetarian when she was in Spain, in Barcelona, because the woman she lived with, like every meal would have all this meat, and like one of them, it was like blood sausage.
Wow.
And she's like, I never want to eat meat again.
I had some of, I don't even know if it was meat, some of the things she fed us. I think she was honestly making a really handsome sum off of the money they were giving her to feed us and then what she was actually giving us.
Right. What kind of checkup program do they have there?
I don't know.
You can't call like DCFS. How's that college student doing?
I turned over in my bed that was terribly misshapen one night and help was carved on the wall. I'm not even kidding.
Some other student.
Some other student did that. And I asked her, I was like, did a bigger guy have this room before me? And she was like, oh, sí, muy gordo. And I was like, oh, no.
Nice.
There was... A fat dude.
Not even Ayudar, just help.
Help. Yes.
Help. Wrong language.
Yeah. Did you,
help never came.
Did you end up learning, being immersed? Did you feel fluent in Spanish?
Or do you talk not as much as I wished. Obviously, I ended up saying gracias because everyone would just give you a real evil
if you didn't say if you said gracias.
But also you'd, start speaking Spanish to people and then they'd immediately respond in English.
Oh, because they would
because
know.
Because they'd be like, I don't need to. This
now studying in London, did you get any sort? I mean, because it's so funny,
the language barrier is tough,
yeah, that too. But it's there's a little bit of a disdain for Americans in London. I would say there's a lot of disdain,
I had
totally,
definitely.
I mean, Ricky Gervais, I mean, like, here's I'm getting a little bit tired, and there's another host on the station who has said this. I'm getting a little tired of the Brits coming over here and like telling us what's wrong, and like they're not all that great or classy in England either.
No,
they're not.
Oh, they're horrendous. Have you ever heard Adele talk?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Exactly.
And like, she's gorgeous, gorgeous on her records, but just...
Foul mouth.
I mean, just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a really weird experience about the British youth. Like, boys between the ages of 14 and 19 mm-hmm. are just crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I was at a concert, and my friend got his hair lit on fire. The 14-year-old kid behind him was just bored. And
what?
Whipped out his lighter and just... Like literally,
this is what I'm saying. The disdain. I got to the point where I was ready to put a maple leaf on my backpack and say that I was from Canada, mm-hmm. because like they, I got cussed at by a bartender because all I said was, "Could I have 3 pints of Guinness?" And he cussed at me. You know, effing Americans, they never say please. How long have you been here? All this stuff, and I was like. By the time he was done yelling at me, like I was cussing back at him. He was like, could you? You're asking me if you are capable of doing it, and unless you have a medical condition,
he probably
I'm assuming
respected you more after.
Oh,
that.
I was like, I was just like, may I have some? But I had it happen in Wales, in Ireland, not so much. Did you have a chance to go over to Ireland?
Yeah, we went over to Ireland. Yeah, fit in right well over there.
They're a nice people.
Yes, they are.
Castles.
Yeah.
There's like, and they're just like in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, whose castle is that? Ah, I don't know. It's the sheep's castle.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sheep.
Yeah. They are a lot of sheep.
We had one guy get in trouble for, he ordered an Irish car bomb at a bar. And it's kind of like a terrorist thing over there.
Definitely don't want to do that.
So it was so the guy poured the guy poured 2 shots of vodka.
Oh no!
And lit him on fire and said, "There's your twin towers."
Woo!
In Ireland?
Yeah, in Ireland. Isn't that crazy? Man.
What?
Yeah.
Touché.
Wow. Yeah. Point taken.
Yeah.
Done doing that.
Yeah. Totally noted.
That's why you study abroad. Because you get to be like, oh, yeah, there's another point of view in the world.
Right.
Craig, do you remember why I didn't study abroad? Well, let's call him Tom because that was his name. Said he wouldn't wait for me. So stupid. Stupidest thing I ever did. I was dating a boy in college. And, we call him Tom because that was his name, Daniels. And but, at some point it's your own fault, right? Like you can say someone, but it was my own fault. Really, I should have just been like, all right, we'll see you later then. But I was 19 and in love. I wanted to go to Aberdeen. I wanted to study in Scotland. You know,
oh,
I wanted
nice.
To go someplace old and damp. And which is funny
because
I won't watch Game of Thrones because it looks like a very damp place where that show takes place.
It does look damp.
It looks very
totally
damp.
Looks damp.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Like, too damp.
Like the clothes all look like they're moist.
That's why they're always fighting. They're just too damp.
So
it all makes a lot of sense. We are hanging out with the Garden Boys. They're performing as part of Sketchfest 2016. You can go to Stage 773 for tickets to their show, which is Friday night, 9 p.m. in the Cabaret. And more with them when we come back. I'm Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Thank you again to listeners who've been asking us to talk a little bit about David Bowie. As a comedian, I'm so bad with, like, something I'll be playing. I'm like, oh, that is a David Bowie song. I'm like, I don't recognize it, but I know that so many people are in pain. A lot of people were surprised. I don't think, he was not public about his illness, his struggle with cancer in the last 18 months. And a lot of I have friends who are taking it very hard. Do you guys, it's kind of a weird thing to wake up to, like someone that you kind of have in the background of your life, right? Because you guys are very young, so your entire life has been filled with David Bowie sort of playing.
Yeah, I got a push notification from BBC News, the app.
Oh, really? That
phone.
Yeah. I mean, it was obviously a big story worldwide.
Yeah, I was. I remember I got into, speaking of London, you know, studying abroad, I really got into Bowie in London because I took a London music class, mm-hmm. And we moved through the classical and all the greats, but we spent a full class on Bowie because he was so big.
Interesting. And, such an impact on the music.
Yeah. And I really loved him. The song Heroes, I remember listening to, just this is incredible. I'm a big, I classic rock, but I just had never really explored Bowie. But then listening to some of these tracks that really didn't play on the radio, I was this is incredible.
There is a fearlessness to his music. I think that's what people were drawn to, was totally. there were no rules. And a lot of people, big fans of Labyrinth.
That I think probably hits home the hardest with our generation.
Is Labyrinth?
Labyrinth, yeah. And the hair and the baby.
We're talking about Labyrinth still.
Yeah. Poor baby. You got to find that baby.
Now, were you guys drawn at all to sketch comedy before you were sort of compelled to start studying at Second City?
I think I speak for all of us when I say we were all really big SNL fans growing
okay.
up. Loved Chris Farley. Chris Farley was one of my favorites.
Yeah, Farley Farrell.
Before I even knew that was really sketch comedy in itself, I just loved that show. I thought it was great. So it was kind of natural.
Hard to go over to any friend's house and not have one of the best ofs playing in the background, Farley or Myers or something like that. So
my 12-year-old is starting to do impressions of the SNL cast member who does Ben Carson. So it just kind of cracks me up. Because he'll do Ben Carson, but he's doing the actor from
Jay Farrow as Ben Carson.
Yeah, that's Jay Farrow. Really
that was all of my first impressions were all Dana Carvey. And I still don't really have very many, but they're all just Dana Carvey impressions. just shot back out.
I agree. I was drawn, when I was a kid, when I was very little, I saw Gilda Radner. I was not drawn to sketch comedy. I loved, there was this adult acting like a little girl, jumping up and down on her bed. And
she's
this,
crazy. She's awesome, yeah.
Oh my God, this character, Rosanna Zana Dan, and but what I loved was somebody making you laugh to the point of not being able to breathe or to tears.
Right.
Yeah. So for me, I performed in Sketchfest yesterday, and I don't do, it was funny because I was nervous because I don't do surreal characters. I don't have these big scenes. Vicky Coons was amazing, and so was Kelly, and some great, and Marla Depew was outstanding. And hers is autobiographical. She talks about being raised in an evangelical household and struggling with being a feminist and bisexual. For me, I was nervous because I felt like I was all of a sudden the first person doing an autobiographical thing, biographical performance. But do you like escaping into these sort of voices in your head or thinking of new ways to to reach an audience?
I think we love coming in and and dying laughing at
it. Just making each other laugh.
Making each other laugh is really funny.
I think we all grew up with our family really influencing us in comedy. We all, I think, had a lot of dinner table laughter and stuff that. So
basically bits, bits. You didn't know you were doing a bit, but you were just, someone would say something funny and then you would go until it wasn't funny anymore. And then,
I want to make sure, did you guys prepare any? I don't want to, if you prepared something for the show, I don't want to leave that off the table and not give you a chance to do it. No, okay. Because I know some, last week there were some. Do something?
I mean, we've got some.
We've got some stuff we could do, but we could also, we're totally fine.
We're also having a lot of fun hanging out.
That's absolutely fine. So if people ask you, what's the description that you have submitted for the Sketchfest calendar? What did you put?
So we've got a show up called This Is History, and it's basically just a look through the course of history from the beginning of time, cavemen, all the way through the future, about what regular dudes were like in history. Basically, the tag is the guys that didn't make it into your history textbooks. So it's really just a lot of really poorly stupid dudes.
Yeah, we got a lot of, some of our blackouts are big historical figures, but a lot of our, our long scenes are just average people in these big historical times, but they're just average people being average people.
Would you explain so people know what a blackout is? I mean, I have a good idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, blackout is just a really, you know, line, and then a punchline, and then everyone laughs, and then the lights go out.
It's a quick hit.
It's a quick hit, yeah. Hopefully they laugh. Sometimes they don't laugh, and then it's still a blackout.
I didn't go to a lot of sketch. I hadn't seen a lot of sketch until the last couple of years, and Just the Tip, they're performing later this week as well. It's such a brilliant way to sort of clean the slate and have a new starting point, or give people, you know, if you have transitions that you guys have to make. Are you tech heavy? That's something I was noticing over the weekend, where the differences.
No, we have musical transitions in between scenes. Mm-hmm. But that's,
they're gonna love you for that, whether or not you get Sam or JC.
Yeah, we have Sam actually. Yeah,
I love Sam.
Yeah, really
he's
cool.
He's a good guy.
We do have a lot of music. We like to throw a lot of music in our show. I think we all like playing and singing and stuff like that. So
yeah, that was something we realized, is that we all play an instrument, and 4 out of 5 of us are really good singers. I'm not a good singer.
Oh, is it you?
It is me. But I try. I'm a bass, so I just stay low.
When I started doing comedy, I studied at Players Workshop at Second City, and I found out right away why I didn't want to do sketch was I can't hear music. I don't know when it's my turn. I can't hear it. I don't know when it's, you know, it's just, so I had to, I was like, okay, I'm gonna go stand on a stage by myself. I'm gonna go do that thing where people aren't relying on you too. Because how do you guys like sort of keep your relationships sort of, you know, without getting contentious? Do you ever have? Because it's hard.
We're all pretty good at just being straight up about stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No really hurt feelings about it.
Yeah,
anything.
No really. Like when we bring something in, like we know that everybody else, like no one's trying to come after you. Yeah. Like
right.
Everyone's
good.
Got the.
Because sometimes you have a baby, right? You have a baby.
Totally.
You have your favorites.
Yeah.
You just kind of got to be able to let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to let go of the babies.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually try and. I try and write like 10 scenes and then come in. So if like, you know, if as long as like one of them's good, you know, you feel fine.
You have to soft sell the one you really
exactly,
like.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. I wrote this one. I don't know, whatever.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah. I don't know if this is good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like we had a sketch that would every time make us die laughing, crying when we were writing it, but then it kind of didn't hit at all when we put it up. So it's really weird how sometimes the things you never thought would hit end up doing pretty well.
That's my other question is, with sketch, I mean, like, you don't know until you put it in front of an audience, right? So you're sort of in a vacuum for a while. So have you done some of these before for other audiences?
We kind of took a big risk on our show. We had a show in October, so this is just our same show that we did in October.
Okay.
And we didn't put it up in front of anybody.
Before we
how did that feel?
It was nerve-wracking.
That's exactly what it felt like.
Yeah. That would be it. And then how did it go?
It went great.
It was
interesting because we had 4 shows, and I think we pretty much had 4 completely different audiences every night.
Oh, good.
Like first night, super enthusiastic, loving audience. Second night, it was like you really had to earn your laughs. But it was great.
Is it weird then? Because when you have that first show and you get laughs in different places, you have to be careful not to like have it. You can't expect it either.
Right.
Yeah.
You have
right.
to just
yeah.
be together. I asked this of a group last week. I asked Superpunk this. Do you prefer laughter during the scenes or applause in between?
Laughter during.
I mean, I'll take it all.
Yeah,
but
Do I have to choose?
Yeah.
Yes, you do have to choose.
Laughter during scene, definitely.
Sure.
Yeah. I think it keeps the energy up too. But there are so many silent. I was watching it because people come into the theater a little bit differently, and they're just kind of. There's so many people with their arms folded and you know, like quietly enjoying. But I have to say, at Sketchfest, everyone has been really just a lot of fun. It's great.
Super
audience.
Nice.
Well, Brian Posen and his crew of volunteers really helped get everybody started by being so energetic.
There's that one guy who does a backflip. Have you seen that happen?
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, we were talking about him on the way over here. He's really good at flipping.
Yeah. he literally flips out. Did you see him, Craig? Did you see him do the flip? You didn't see that before. Yeah. Oh, it's right. Whoa. He came in a few minutes after lights had gone and the scene had started.
No, yeah. I was like eating the skinny pop that they gave out, and then all of a sudden that dude just comes in.
Yeah, that's actually the one
just
thing our show is missing.
Someone flipping.
Just a nice juicy backflip.
Flipping a big old bag of skinny pop.
Now, is this your, here's yours. So they have a Facebook page. You can go to Garden Boys on Facebook, check out their Facebook page and like them. And it has their name on here. We're missing Tim and Evan, apparently, are the two
shout
performers.
Shout out to Tim and Evan. I can't believe we've failed them.
No, you have not.
Thus
I think you mentioned it earlier, maybe off the air, but that's okay.
They're great. They're great.
Tell them we'll podcast
They're great.
This.
Evan's our main music guy. Evan's a wizard with all instruments. Yeah. And Tim brings the
goofy
and the late night comedy. He's
The late night comedy. He brings the blue. He brings the blue.
Excellent. So this is History Show is going to be at Stage 773 on Friday. If you do go to their page, you know, you can expect some salty language. Just want to let you know. But that's true of Sketchfest in general. But it's a fun show. It's all there's all different. There's something for everybody. But this sounds like a great one. And the cabaret at 9 p.m. Go to stage773.com for tickets. And don't forget, this is the Garden Boys. This is History. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you so much.
This was so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We look forward to having you back. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by the Stuntmen. They are performing in Sketchfest 2016. They'll be performing on Thursday at 10 p.m. Yes, we are celebrating all things Sketchfest during the festival. It's the world's largest Sketchfest, and there's over 160 performers or groups with over 180 shows. My show, Craig, was number 94. Allegedly, I was told later that it's possible that someone made that up, but somewhere in the rotation, I was
94-ish.
94. I'll take it. It sounded so good when he said it. I was like, I'm show number 94. We have in studio with us from Stuntmen, we have Adam, Matt, Matthew, and Shane. And who are we missing?
We're missing Brian.
Brian, we are so sorry you couldn't
make it.
We
lost him. In memoriam.
Oh. No, he's
fine. He was around. The storm, it was awful.
How far did it... Adam, you've been here for a bit now. Did you get here early to get ahead of bad weather?
I was already downtown, so it's,
you already, so
yeah,
you just
it's not that
up.
Big of a deal for me.
You were in there for a long time.
Yeah.
You saw the remnants of our Christmas decorations. Thank you, Tree Time.
Yeah.
But, yes.
It was beautiful glitter.
It was a lot of glitter.
Yeah.
It was glitter-licious in the green room. Craig, there was on the couches, and I have to say, the woman that cleans—it's all gone. I did not think that was going to happen.
Really,
it was actually gone, which was like, oh man.
Yeah, you were told there'd be glitter.
It,
yes,
and now there's like, wow,
sort of disappointing a little bit.
But then that's why you got to come 2 hours early.
Okay. That's right, you missed the glitter.
Sorry, Adam. Well done, sir.
I mean, poor Shane though—he might have gotten that in his mustache, and like, that's not easy to get rid of glitter. Have you ever gotten glitter in your fantastic mustache?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Sounds like it's not a pleasant experience for you.
Yeah, every once in a while, I didn't know that this was like a glitter type of place. I would have brought some glitter with.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's by there. We had this whole studio was decked out in holiday decorations that came down today. Poor Santa's like maimed body was lying in the green room.
That's
for
not
a while.
So great. I'm really curious why he uses glitter so often if he doesn't mind explaining.
Yes.
No, it's not that I use it.
It just, occurs.
The question was, does it get in my mustache every once in a while?
Yeah, okay. It's solely mustache glitter. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. We've actually started writing some sketches for his mustache, in fact.
Have you, in fact?
There's a couple
very
of
specifically.
Sketches.
Yes.
Especially in this show.
Yeah.
I don't even have to be conscious as long as my mustache is.
That's right.
Oh, poor Shane.
Look, it's John Wilkes Booth. Perfect.
Oh.
When inspiration comes along, you know, you really got to patch into it.
Yeah, no, you've got to roll with it. Yeah.
Tap the flow of creativity wherever it arrives.
Do you draw the line at letting them shave you on stage?
Yeah. I'll draw it there.
You draw it.
So that's off the table now.
That's off the table. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to.
Well, yeah, you brought it up. No, yes. I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
Did you, hey Matt, did you catch any shows this past weekend at Sketchfest?
I did lights for one show this past Thursday.
Which
for
one?
Citizens Abroad.
Oh, I didn't see them. I saw Off Broadway, but how was Citizens Abroad?
Oh, really great. I had been their tech person when they were a house company ensemble team at the Second City Training Center.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so it was an easy hop in of knowing the show already.
Thursday is sort of an interesting day for Sketchfest, isn't it? Because people are kind of coming in. It has that sort of like, it's almost like a flower that's starting to open up, right?
Mm-hmm. And pre-weekend, like, ooh, maybe, oh, cool. Maybe,
yeah.
Like, we can stay out late tonight.
Yeah, but by Saturday, man, all bets are off. I mean, Craig and I went to go see the Tim and Micah Project.
Oh, nice.
And it was like people standing on top of other people, standing room only.
They are very popular.
It was very, I was there last year. This was insane. Mm. It was a lot. Energy was amazing on Saturday. Did you? Any of you go to Sketchy Bater?
I was going to say, are you performing? I thought you were performing as well on
yesterday.
Sunday?
I did yesterday.
You already did perform.
It's too late now. Thank you.
Oh,
I appreciate it.
I didn't go to Sketchy Bater this year, unfortunately.
I would say people got so many people told me they were going to come see me at Sketchybater, but I believe that they were out so late that that became impossible by 5 p.m. on
Sunday. So you did a Sketchybater show?
I did not perform at Sketchybater.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, wow.
Yeah,
all
that's
right.
It was a little bit more. Brandon was talking about this earlier. It was a little bit more mild than last year's. Did you see last year's with Fudged?
Yeah. Some of that stuff was a little like probably not WGN safe.
I have alluded to it. Yes. I have alluded to it again. I will say it's not how you make tea. I'm not sure what was in the jar. Do we think that was what was in the jar?
I don't know that we can even chat about this.
Matthew's like, I don't know why you're bringing it back. I put it away. I put it in my own mental jar.
How do we tiptoe around this? Okay.
So emphasis on the lewd in the, alluding to it.
Yes, yes. It was over the top. It was a lot of fun. What can people, like, what is your write-up for the show that you have on Thursday?
So what we do, we're dorks. And we are dorks that are inspired by action movies. So we like to do a lot of physical comedy, and we pay homages to various dorky action things. So we've got in this particular show, we've got a little homage to Mission Impossible, mm-hmm. to Lord of the Rings,
Bill and Ted.
Is that an action movie?
I feel like you can consider it an action movie.
Okay.
In a certain
sense. Craig,
if The Martian is a comedy, I think that Bill and Ted is an action movie.
Does that work for you,
That's
Craig?
That's exactly what I would have just said, yeah. Yeah. I agree completely.
I don't know if I guess it's just... Right, you're right. I like your point.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm trying to think of more action movies. This is the year of the Star Wars.
I know. We've done some Star Wars stuff in the past. We thought we would try some new ground this time. But yes, we did our ode to... the guy on Hoth who tells Han Solo that he's going to freeze before he reaches the first marker. That guy's name is Tigran Jamiro.
Yeah, I believe
and
so.
And so we did a whole sketch based on the backstory to Tigran Jamiro.
I'm getting to say, excuse me, that's very rude. I'm a person. I have a name. Yeah. My name is
I'll see you in hell. Oh, great. Wow, thanks. I was trying to give you some helpful advice. We're going to freeze. No, great.
It's almost like your Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead moment.
Yeah, pretty much so.
A little meta. Just a little meta.
I like that. That's excellent. So, do you have any favorites? Do you have any babies? We were talking to the Garden Boys about having, when you come in and you guys do the running order, do you have babies that you try to protect?
We just did a sketch, actually. We were performing at a Nerd Fest. Which is also at Stage 773. Mm-hmm. And
I was there. I think I saw Cody's podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
We performed right after McSith.
Okay.
They had like a cast of 30 doing Macbeth in a Star Wars. So,
God. Yeah, and there was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the musical.
We were right before them. So,
Esmeralda, you saw that show, did you not? You saw Buffy the Vampire? And that turned you into a Buffy fan of all things, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah, she saw the Buffy the Vampire the Slayer musical.
Very nice.
And
very
now
nice.
I've seen the entire...
Have you seen all seven seasons?
Yep.
Did you do it with the back-to-back Angel discs as well?
No. Have you gotten into Angel?
I have not.
Oh, where he comes back.
I actually seen all the Angel and not all the Buffy. But okay. So I came on it from the other side.
Well, because she went to the UPN, so you stayed with the CW.
It was always on at like 7. I'm getting ready. Oh, look. Hey, it's on. Cool. Thank you.
Did we just out-geeked out the other geeks? Okay.
So the sketch we did that was my baby...
The other geeks are like, we can't. This is not. It's such troll logic, Matthew. I think it's season 3 with Abraham Brun Ruby. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, for sure.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
We did Arthur Miller's Death of a Red Shirt. And so it was we did a combination of it was Willie Loman as a red shirt.
Okay.
And then we brought in, because we'd already referenced Highlander earlier in we did the Ballad of Highlander 2.
Yeah. Okay.
So we brought Highlander in, and Highlander actually ends up killing the Willie Loman red shirt.
Yes.
And we did the Queen song, Who Wants to Live Forever. So it's a red shirt singing Who Wants to Live Forever, which I thought was kind of a fun bit. So that was that's my baby.
That's
spoiler
your baby.
Spoiler alert, he lost.
Red shirt dies.
That's always. Your baby. Shane, do you have any babies?
I mean, no.
No, he doesn't want to reveal them because then that becomes he becomes vulnerable.
I don't know if you know that, so I'm actually kind of new to the group.
Okay.
So we did one other show. I've done one other show with them. But one of my favorites I've seen them do without me is the Hawking and the Sasquatch sketches.
Oh, yes.
It's like Starsky and Hutch. Except it's Stephen Hawking and a Sasquatch.
Yeah. Hawking and the Quatch.
Hawking and the Quatch.
So if I had to pick a group baby, I think that's one of my favorite ones I've seen them do. And we were going to do one, but we had to take it out for the show. So right, it's going to be a future one.
Right, because you have 40 minutes and it has to go pretty tight. I mean, how do you time 40 minutes? I haven't asked any group this yet because, you know, you don't. There's, it's hard to tell how the audience is going to react, what kind of things happen along the way.
Especially as you, you know, you read something on the page.
Right.
It's going to be it's a little usually more flat. Shorter than it will be when you actually put it out on its feet.
Sure.
So, yeah, sometimes you'll, you know, We, on more than one occasion, we've had a situation where, let's say a week before the show, we run it. We're like, oh, yeah, that's way too long. you would just end up, you run it for time. You cut a few things. You start thinking, is this critical to this scene? If not, maybe we'll cut this little 30-second bit out of this and move it around.
But you have to go in there with a scalpel then sometimes.
There are some scalpel moments, certainly.
And some hatchet moments.
He's like, no. I felt a hatchet. I definitely felt a hatchet come through some at some point.
I remember a bit we did once. This was a long time ago, but the bit was like a parody of The Club, and it was a car thing, and we had one of the guys built a car. It was a 2D car, but he made out of cardboard this beautiful car, painted it. It was beautiful. And he carted it.
That's a baby right there.
It was a baby.
That's
exactly.
A baby. Yeah.
And it came to showtime, and the show was going to run long, and we're like, we have to cut something.
No.
I'm sorry, Andrew. We're cutting the car. And the look on his face was like, no, just show it. Just show the car.
Yeah, for no reason. You just have a car on the stage.
Just a walk on.
Yeah.
Right. It's a car, everybody.
Can the guy from Hoth, can he be driving the car?
Right, can Tigran Jamiro drive a car?
It's a little anachronistic.
We don't really. We are hanging out with the guys from Stuntmen. They are performing on Thursday in the Final Straw at 10 p.m. in the Pro Theater. This is Adam, Matt, Matthew, and Shane. More with them when we come back on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Go to Stage 773 for all your tickets and calendar information for Sketchfest 2016. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by the Stuntmen. They're performing on Thursday night at 10 p.m. at Stage 773. Their show is called The Final Straw. I threw my notes away for everybody. Oh, no, here it is. We have Adam, Matt, Matthew, Shane, and Brian is missing in action. And they've handed me a script to participate in one of their scenes. But let me ask you this. Do you have any sound cues you would like our tech guy, Craig, to procure for you?
Okay, I'll tell you what. We were going to do this on our own, but if you've got it, mm-hmm. Do you have something approximating a neck snap sound?
Sure.
All right. So whenever you hear the word neck snap, give a neck snap cue.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. Look, we didn't even do a tech rehearsal. This is very
Good. This is on the fly. This is awesome.
Yeah. We're going to give him a few minutes. I want to talk to you guys for a few more minutes before we do our theme.
Sure.
How many pages? Okay. So it's a page and a half. All right. Gotcha. I'm so nervous. This
is
tech is good.
Tech is up.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. There we go. Didn't even need
WGN,
to do anything.
Pros. Right.
Now you go ahead and you do whatever you need to do for this.
All right. So
whatever you want to do.
Sure. Well, we can set this up a little bit. So this is actually going to be from the show. There is actually a lead into this, which is a very physical bit where we're breaking into the secret facility, and so there's a laser grid, and then there's a balance beam, and pedestals. We gotta jump up. Yeah, so it's follow the leader basically around the stage. So now we've broken into the lab, into the big facility, and this is the big crucial moment.
All right.
So here we go.
Okay.
We made it. This is it. The machine has been turning humanity into zombies. Let's set the charges and blow this place to hell.
Oh, no. The timer has malfunctioned.
What does that mean?
That means one of us is going to have to stay behind and turn it on manually.
Any volunteers?
I would, but I've got dodgeball next week. We're in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I'm actually reffing that game, that dodgeball game.
So. Okay. Well, then we're just going to have to do this the old-fashioned way. We draw straws.
I brought a bag of straw. Oh.
Well, that's odd. But fortunate. Okay, men. Patty, whoever draws the short straw stays behind to blow up the zombie machine. Here we go. Okay.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Got one.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So who has the shorter straw?
Oh, they all look the same.
Don't you have to make one of the straws shorter? I think that's how the game works.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it was.
Oh, I thought it was kind of a, let nature take its course. Like, naturally, one of the straws would be shorter.
That just makes sense.
Okay, no, hand them all back. Fine. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
You got this.
Yeah. Handing out.
All right. Okay, man, I just hope I don't get the short
Straw.
Oh my god.
The machines turn Gerald into a zombie.
Oh my god. Zip, do your thing.
All right, I got this. Next nap.
You're almost too good at that, Zap.
I don't.
All right, look, we're all becoming zombies. We're going to become zombies any minute, so let's just speed this process up, all right? Here, draw.
Okay, sorry. Thank you. All right, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Wait, where's my straw?
What the hell? Did I miscount?
Oh, I drew two.
Damn it. Let's just do it again. One straw each. I thought that was pretty self-evident.
Okay, sorry.
I remember playing a game of...
Oh, my God, she's a zombie.
Uh-oh.
Patty's a zombie.
I got this. Come here, Patty. Zip. Next nap.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that sounded painful.
She was a zombie, though, right?
No. Oh, no, yeah. Did you see the way that her speech slowed down and started to do the horrible brain curl on the menu?
Next nap.
Crud. Tom knew all the rules. I wasn't paying attention. Isn't there, like, an app or something that can, like, choose for us?
You know what? I think Tom would want us to continue this game that he set up. Here, I have two straws. This one's shorter. Choose.
Well, I don't really think that...
Choose!
Okay, this guy.
You know what? It looks like it's me. Get out of here while you still can.
Thank you, Zip.
Oh, man. This is stressful. Why is my arm tingling?
Oh, no. Are you turning into a zombie?
No. It's coronary. Heart snap.
No.
Zip.
Zip.
Zap.
I guess it's up to me. Okay. Well, technically it's not the shortest straw now. It's the longest straw. Best 2 out of 3.
And thank you to our tech director, Craig Collins.
Awesome. Next snaps. Next snaps on command.
Yeah. Nice. Well, almost on command. It's a bit of a delay.
No. These guys were
test. It was
an echo. That was good. That was very good.
So I say next snap, then I walk over there.
Right. You say it, then it takes a second, and you actually snap their nose.
It's nice that your character announces that every single time.
Do you do that? Do you actually do that in the show, or is that for Craig?
You know what? We decided to do that for here, and then we decided, you know what? That's funny enough. Let's put it in the show. So it's now show worthy.
It is a good cue.
It is a good cue. There's Vicky Coons, who was doing her one-woman show last night, the Vicky Coons experiment. She does write lights on her forearms so that it's like lights up, lights down. She's got white on
brilliant.
One. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I love that.
So, he just knows.
Yeah. It's also kind of nice.
Yeah,
cool,
so it's a little
bit.
Tough. Yes. Yeah.
It's also super meta.
It is. It's very meta.
Yeah, I
lights.
Love that.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And if you're doing bumps, you can just like dance a lot.
Right. You need to have like chasing lights or something. I'm going on through the thing. I had to look that up, by the way, Chasers. I had to. I was on my way to the theater. I'm like, what is it when there's a bunch of, when it's all, and I can't, Chasers. I don't do that much. It's one of the things that I forgot so I want to thank Sam Howard, no, your tech, who's your tech guy? Do you guys have Sam?
Ours is Byron.
Byron.
Well, we brought him in.
Fancy with your own tech person.
We have our own Byron.
All right. I had Sam, hold on, I have to find his name, Sam Kanata, who was my tech guy.
Okay.
Oh, you're good.
But I forgot to thank him. Like, every group I've seen, I...
Oh, right, they did a little acknowledgement to the booth.
Yes, but I was just like, go see more shows, I'm done. Felt really...
He'll hold a grudge for the rest of his
life. I feel so bad.
Until he hears this radio program.
Exactly. Right. Thank you, Sam. Even
or,
though I got your name wrong.
Or because it's a festival, he's probably running to the next show.
He wasn't even in the booth when I was done.
Right.
I have a question. I think we should do hang on to these guys. I feel like we should do a dance party. I get the feeling like these might be some good dancers we have in the studio. Can you guys, do you have anywhere to be? You've been here forever, Adam.
I am down to dance.
Are you up for staying a little till the end of the show? Till 2?
We're here.
I think they know what happens if they leave.
Oh!
Oh, my heart.
Everyone check yourself.
Dancing with a broken spine might be tricky.
I know. I feel like we should assign them characters. Like, they should pick one of the characters from their shows and do an interpretive dance of that character. look at Matt's like, I don't know. Let me think about that for a while. More after this.
I play Dr. August.
More after this on 720 WGN.
Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
8, 7, Matt, go ahead and sing.
Commencing countdown, engines on. Check ignition and interface with you.
Sorry, David.
But he's a mockery.
He's good. He's good with it. David Bowie passed away early on Monday, very early. I believe it was around 2 a.m. I started seeing Facebook posts from my friend Patricia Nelson, who has always been an ardent fan of his. When the Museum of Contemporary Art had a David Bowie exhibit here, she flew in from Los Angeles to be here for that because she's from Chicago and she wanted to be a part of that. There are people who are devoted to certain artists, and there's a song with Mick Jagger. That I always,
Dancing in the Streets?
Dancing in the Streets. When I was a kid, I loved that one. I know the
video is a little cheesy.
It is.
The song was, it was a happy, uplifting, positive song.
It really was. Yeah. I enjoyed that one. But I mean, we all have our different things that you mentioned Labyrinth off the air. I think a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The crystal ball juggling. I was like, wait, are those stunt hands? Does he actually do that?
Is that a thing? Magic Hands.
Yeah, it was a
well-known juggler.
And the hair. It was awesome. Mm.
I was surprised to see some people get mad at other people for like, oh, now you love him now that he's gone, and where were you before? And it's like, okay, let's not get angry. It's not like a team that's going right. to the World Series and you haven't been here all along. Like, right. We all get to appreciate a performer in different ways just because you're not devoted and like every day is it. But it is a sad day because it was a surprise. I think that there are people like that have passed away, and you're like, you kind of just, that was so a part of your growing up that you kind of always thought they would be there for whatever reason. It just seems for me when Phil Hartman was killed.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know why that was so upsetting to me.
At the time, he was the funniest person I knew.
Mark this, ever. Craig. See, these are comics who are like, I mean, like that to us was just like, oh, such a loss.
He was the king of Saturday Night Live. Yes. I mean, he was the guy that was the glue that held that show together. And then when he's doing the Simpsons voices and
covers. Nothing, yes.
Everything he did was gold.
Yes.
Like, there was nothing. He never just took a small part and was like, oh, whatever, I just got a line. It was like, that one line would be amazing. And it was just,
I feel like you also got the sense from him that he was just a nice guy in general.
I agree.
That's someone you wanted to know.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people are, you know, for them, David Bowie was a sort of symbol of, you know, just be whoever you are. Just, mm-hmm. you know,
he seemed
fearlessness.
Like an incredibly creative person.
Yeah.
Too. You know, like he would just, if something started to feel too stale, he would just completely change and go
yes.
in a totally different direction and make that amazing.
And without being a public spectacle either, you know, without like, sort of like even being rumors about other things that were, you know, I mean, like the sexuality I think was an issue early on because he would do these things that seemed very androgynous. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in the 70s, it wasn't easy, especially when you have more conservative sort of points of view on things. And he never, it was almost like in spite of that or because of it.
Right.
He wanted to continue with the way he was blinders on and just keep going forward.
You know, with everybody that's kind of sad, there's a viral tweet that was actually misattributed to Simon Pegg, the actor. It's another person named Simon Pegg. It's not actually the Simon Pegg, but the tweet is pretty profound. It says, if you're sad today, just remember the world is 4 billion years old and you somehow managed to exist at the same time as David Bowie.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a great
That is a great tweet.
Simon Pegg. Not the actor.
Not Simon Pegg. Yes. Okay.
Someone very profound.
Different Mr. Pegg.
Yeah. I was up really early this morning when I found out David Bowie died. And my initial reaction was, sadness. But then afterwards, it's the kind of same reaction that I have whenever I hear anyone dies. It's this idea that they're free now. Because there's always like so much struggle to have to deal with in life. And I feel like David Bowie was one of the brave people who saw that struggle and wasn't beaten down and didn't feel sad about it.
Right. And he seemed so timeless, too. I mean, like, at 69, you're like, I couldn't decide if that seemed young or old.
It seems super young to me.
It seems young, but I would have thought he was older. I don't know why. You know, that's what I meant.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was way too young. Like, it's a painful regardless, but I was like,
I never
think about, like, how old he was. That was the kind of performer he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just seemed ageless.
Yeah, because he's such, like, a groundstone of the culture now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sort of, yeah.
I feel like everyone has a different inroad as well into David Bowie. Like, I know for me it was definitely Labyrinth, and then like years later you get the entire catalog. I, you know, got like the greatest hits and then, you know, dive deep after that. And like, of course, my older brother was always into it. And so it's like, oh, well, what's the cool 80s, you know, guys listening to?
Right.
I mean, it was his pre-Metallica phase was all, Space Rock, which was great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So experimental, just so bizarre. Like, it's not, when you listen, you're like, how did this happen? Right? I mean, with the landscape of music at the time.
Mm-hmm. I remember I was riding a school bus, and Under Pressure would come on all the time at the time because it was a really popular song. And for me, it was like, yeah, I'm under pressure because I have to take a test today. That song speaks to me. Yeah, I was like, sure, okay. But an amazing song.
Yeah. Now, Craig, what is your experience? I mean, because you have a wide range of musical tastes.
Yeah.
What are your memories of growing up listening to David Bowie?
You know, it's funny. It's hard for me to remember when I knew that David Bowie was a person. Because his music is, there's a lot of very famous songs that I think I must have just at some point absorbed.
Right.
I can't remember. It wasn't Labyrinth. There was something else about his music that by the time Labyrinth came out and I knew more about him as a person. You're like, oh, that's the guy that I liked is when I heard his music. But right. I don't remember when that first went into my brain.
What did you think of him as before?
Like when I just heard the music?
Yeah.
I just thought it was, this is a, you know, when you listen to music as a younger person, I don't think you always obsess about every single artist. I think there's some songs you hear and you say, well, that was a really cool song, or I really like that. But you don't necessarily dive into that artist. So that's what I thought he was just a good musician until I saw his acting and everything else.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's always so compelling no matter what he did. He was just like somebody you could not take your eyes off of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a lot of people, there are 4.3 million tweets that have been dedicated to, that seems like a lot of tweets. Yeah.
That's a whole lot of people.
I can't read them all on the air.
Well, let's just start. Let's just try.
Yeah.
And how many likes did those tweets get?
Yeah. Retweets.
That's a real question.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. And I guess there's I'm trying to find the Stars quote because a lot of people have been posting this meme about the Stars. Do you know the quote that I'm talking about?
Yeah, not sure on this one.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. Because my friend, as I mentioned, Patricia Nelson, posted that it's not the stars that are different tonight; it's the world. Oh. You know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some profound things being said. People,
he was the man.
People
who
try
felt
to
earth.
Cope with this loss.
Yeah. Well, and I think it. You know, and like for me, one of the first things I thought when and I believe one of the Beatles died of lung cancer as well. Was it George Harrison? Right? I think he died from lung cancer. I just, here's the thing is that like, it's one of those things that reminds you like, no, because you think of people who are rich and famous or like having access to all the best medical treatments and like, and then at some point you're like, it's all coming for that moment of like, even David Bowie, who seems somewhat indestructible and permanent.
Timeless.
Absolutely timeless.
He seems like a force.
He does. Like
a force of nature.
Yeah.
Well, the big shock, I mean, for me, in terms of like a recent death that shocked me was the Robin Williams death. When that happened, that was just...
Again, comics, I think that,
of course, we came back to...
I started the show saying a similar thing. I absolutely, in my car in high school, if you turned on the radio, I had a tape deck.
Yep.
And it was not music. It was George Carlin's Man on Campus. Carlin on Campus. And
that was another one that ripped me apart.
But Robin Williams, and this is what I told a lot of people, the reason why comics were so devastated was, again, it was like losing your general on the battlefield because he achieved everything we could possibly ever dream of. And for that to still not be enough was sort of like
it didn't complete him somehow. There was something still missing. It was like, wait, you have so many cool gifts. Like, how is that still missing?
That's why I tell comedians, you know, when they ask me, you know, where I've gotten, I take everything with a grain of salt. I've had a lot of experience. I have a deal for a sitcom with a network, right? Sure. But the girl that had the show before another comedian who had the opportunity, she would come into meetings and like tell people, this is my one shot of doing, you know, my one shot of telling my story. Mm. And if I came at it like that, it would drive me crazy. Like you have to keep, you know, the way, like we said, David Bowie kept reinventing himself, which is, he always seemed to be at peace. Mm-hmm. Didn't he always seem to be comfortable with himself and who he was? Robin Williams always seemed like he wasn't quite comfortable.
There was a
sense of urgency.
Quality to him that maybe you felt was coming from a place of being uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, like, he would go up and apologize to comics for coming up to do time. And they were like, you know, and he was worried about getting laughs at a comedy club. And they were like, what, you're Robin Williams? He was like, well, that's not a reason to get laughs. You know, right. I mean, like, he was always worried that he wasn't enough for an audience. Mm-hmm. So, Shane, before we break for and we have to come back and dance, I feel like I want to find out a little bit because I feel like I haven't heard as much from where are you from originally?
I'm from Chicago. I grew up in Northwest Indiana and Moved to Chicago about 8 years ago.
And you said you're new to the group. What? How did you find out about these guys?
Well, Brian. Well, he's not here right now, but he's the one. He invited me to come, and I've watched their shows over the past couple of years too.
So, right. Yeah. Oh, cool. And have you had fun? You can tell me. They won't know what your thoughts are working with them. Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. Just look the other way, guys. Don't listen to his response.
What's this over here?
No. No. These guys are hilarious. No. It's a blast working with them. I feel like we all. There's a nice mind, you know, collective, you know, mentality
right.
that was kind of easy to jump into.
Oh, good.
Easy to ease into. So, yeah, it's fun.
And Adam, how long has the group been together?
We started, the original group began in 2009.
Okay.
So we've done this will be our 6th year at Sketchfest.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
That sounds
yeah.
great.
That's pretty sweet.
So again, this is Stuntmen. Their show, The Final Straw, is Thursday night at 10 p.m. on the Pro Stage, which is a great theater. That's Adam, Matt, Matthew, Shane, and Brian mm-hmm. will be performing. Go to stage773.com for tickets and the calendar, and you can see a bunch. You can go see a show right before theirs and catch another show. But it's a great way to sort of, if you have never seen Sketch before, this is unbelievable. There are so many great shows. You have 4 more days this them Thursday through Sunday. And after this, let's see what these boys got. We have a professional dancer in the studio.
Oh, we should take me.
It's do you want me to take more after this on 720 WGN? Thank you, Craig. There are people going, really? That's a song you picked? I said when I was a kid, I really loved that song. That was David Bowie. Thank you for that, Craig. Now, I built up What We Meant to Get To song. These guys haven't even heard it yet, which is fine. It's not that's a, I think that's the first time ever. Because David Bowie. Absolutely,
yeah,
why not?
It was a good song to dance to.
It was a very good song to dance to. That'll be...
It has the word. It's nice.
We'll post that later then for
because
everyone to see.
Because Bowie.
It's fun to be out of breath when we do the show. Esmeralda, did you enjoy a little chair dancing?
I did.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Now, is anyone buying the lottery tickets? Are we so over this story?
No. I can't say I've actually purchased a lottery ticket.
Isn't it a scam?
Well, they changed the combination, like what the numbers were, like how many... The combinations you have to have? What is
possible
it?
Possible combinations?
Yes, I think they changed that math.
Although it is, we would be weird if, you know, like everyone in your office bought a ticket but you, and then they all split the winnings and
except,
left. So you'd be the one person left, and you're, oh, great.
Yes.
I'll just hold up my end of everything.
I guess
I'm running Geico now.
I have been in this building since 8 a.m. for a brief trot out to Zany's to do something. But being here during the day, Craig, totally different experience. One, much easier to get people to go in the stairwell for the Fight for Air Climb training, which is on March 6th, by the way. But yes, one of the sales department people turned to go, hey, do you want to put $2 in?
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, so if I had not been here and then they did win, I would not have been cut in.
So WGN's future rests on them not winning the Powerball.
It does.
Basically.
I would still work. $1 billion, Craig, you still show up for work? Yep.
Yeah, why not? You got to show up for at least a month so nobody knows.
This billion.
Nobody knows.
Oh yeah, the guy who won $1 billion a month ago. Yeah, there's no connection.
Forgot about him.
What happened?
No. We talked about this actually in our meeting. You could set up a limited liability corporation, have your lawyer accept it for you. People don't have to know who you are.
No, we can work this out.
Plus, I believe the Tribune Tower is for sale. Would you buy the Tribune Tower?
I absolutely would.
Yes.
Oh, my limited liability corporation would buy it. And then I'd really complain about those new guys. Yeah. Those owners are terrible.
What is wrong with them? They're so mean. I did not watch the Golden Globes at all last night. Not a minute, not a stitch, nothing. I heard that Matt Damon won for The Martian, which is now a comedy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, it was in the comedy category.
Well, yeah, from what I heard, they did that because they didn't want it to contend against the main film category.
Where Revenant kind of took all that stuff, right?
Right, exactly. So but they still wanted it to win.
Because they didn't get mauled by a bear, it's a comedy.
Well, I'm so sorry Mark just dropped off because I was about to go to him next. I'm like, oh, right, Mark's on hold. Sorry, Mark. I didn't mean to leave you hanging. He wanted to talk about David Bowie.
There is also the fact that the movie is based on a book, and the book is rather funny. So the book is more of a comedic book. So maybe they're stretching that way.
Have you guys seen Martian?
No.
Yeah. You know, it's on my list of Amazon priming, but I haven't done it yet. But yes, I've heard that there are some fun comedic beats in it.
I liked it. It was fun.
How many, Craig, you were live tweeting the Golden Globes, which I don't know why we didn't mention that on Friday. We should have mentioned that on the way out Friday. Please remind me next time to say something. No, you say something.
Okay.
Hey, by the way.
I will do that next time. Yes. By the way, I think I'm live tweeting the Oscars.
Oh, good. There you go.
Saying it early.
I got some out time. Can you do the SAG? I actually get to vote for SAG.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Then we should both live tweet that.
We should. No. I don't know. I have screeners and everything.
Patty has stuff to do.
Yeah,
they have your name on them.
No, I don't know if I have my name on them. Am I supposed to say my name?
Movie Marathon?
Movie Marathon? My place. Let's do it. Actually, The Green Room.
So do you have like a favorite film that's yours?
I haven't seen any of them.
Okay. Okay, then. Perfect judge.
I have not seen a single. I saw Star Wars. I don't go to the movies very often, so I should probably.
It's a good one to see.
I have The Big Short they sent me. They sent a bunch of movies. I don't think I haven't gotten Revenant, but I also have. They give you digital access to some of the movies.
Oh, good.
Do you have favorite movies of the year? Did you,
well, you named once? Star Wars. That's that's okay. High on the list.
Did you enjoy
Yay,
it?
Yay, dork film! But yeah.
I've seen it. Good. I've seen it twice. Did you see it in 3D IMAX?
Yes, I did. Which is awesome too, because you get this assigned seating, so you don't have to like go like an hour early and then get that really horrible seat in the back. And you're like, no, I got my middle seat.
Yeah,
away, everyone.
Be away. Where did you see it that you had assigned seating?
The Navy Pier IMAX.